Newsmakers is brought to you by the Illinois American Water Company. I'm Gary Moore. On today's program,
I didn't run to be the mayor for black people only. I ran to be, what I said, a full-time mayor for all the people of Peoria. And that's what I'm going to be.
Peoria Mayor Rita Ali has been on the job for 2 months and says she's already accomplished some things. She visited our studio to talk about her full-time job, crime in Peoria, and ways to improve the quality of life in the River City. I guess the first question is, you've been on the job now for what, 2 months?
2 months.
And how's it going?
It's going well. It's going well. It's, you know, it was really crazy for a while because I was trying to do two jobs, my vice president job at Illinois Central College plus the mayor's job. And there's, you know, with me just coming into office, everybody's demanding my time. So it was a challenge.
Including me.
You gave me a little breathing
space,
room.
Yes.
So that was crazy for a while. But June 30th, I retired from ICC early. And July 1st, I became Peoria's full-time mayor.
Peoria's full-time mayor. You ran on that campaign. And for those who are not familiar with what you meant by that, you meant by that what?
I meant that that position is classified as part-time, has a part-time salary. But in my opinion, Peoria needs a full-time mayor that works full-time and doesn't have another full-time job that distracts them. So I ran to say that if I'm elected, I'm going to retire early from ICC, and I'm going to focus on one job, and that one full-time job, and that's the job of the mayor.
A little sidetrack. I'm talking to you, and the television is on cable. And before you came, I was watching this quagmire about voting rights in the nation. On the national level, Congress is considering legislation, federal legislation on voting rights, as in some states, particularly Texas, there's a big controversy over the restriction of voting rights. Your election was very close.
Yes.
It went to, what, two or three recounts until you eventually prevailed. And I remember when they were doing the vote tallies and we were looking at voter turnout, how in some districts, particularly the first district, you had the majority of eligible voters who did not vote. And I thought, how interesting is that, that nationally in black and brown communities, there seems to be this assault on voting rights. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, unfortunately, we have a number of black and brown people who don't vote. Mm-hmm. How do we square that?
Well, you know, I think we just can't give up. We can't give up on those educating those voters on the importance of their vote. When I ran 4 years ago for, not at large, but when I ran for 5th District,
I lost by one vote. And you know, Rita, I have to say this, Mayor. Mm-hmm. When I've talked to some people since that election who said, who put their head down and said, man, I'm sorry, but I would have voted for her and I didn't.
People have told me that too. Shamefully, they said, you know, I didn't mail my ballot in or I didn't make it in, and they were very apologetic. But at the same time, you know, I think that that loss set me up for winning at large, which set me up for winning the mayor's race. So I'm not mad at anybody, but I do, you know, stress the importance of every single vote counts. I mean, I won this election for mayor by 43 votes. I mean, how close can you get?
Right.
You know, I'm always taking the scenic route. Senator Durbin said, do you always have to have cliffhangers?
Man. So, hey, you're in office now. You say the first 2 months have gone well. What would you say are some of the early accomplishments, or is it too early to start asking you for what you've achieved?
No, I think it's, and I'll be having a list that I'll actually release after the first 100 days about my accomplishments. I've actually went and spoke to the House about money for the riverfront development, also for the warehouse area. I have.
Now, when you say the house, you're talking about
the state house.
The state house in Springfield.
In Springfield, yeah, those legislators, and that was important for me to speak on behalf of the city of Peoria and our needs, and to have that legislation supported by the House legislators, and ultimately by the Senate as well. But I also launched just last night, provided orientation and launched Peoria's first joint commission on racial justice and equity with 156 individuals serving on that joint commission. It was a beautiful sight to see the steering committee of 22 people and focus groups in eight different areas where there's disparity based upon race. These are committed people. I think eight people didn't show up out of the 156. We had our meeting at the Civic Center, and it was just amazing to look out at all those committed people that want to do something in addressing disparities based upon race in Peoria.
And so, do you have any specific goals for that commission? What tangibly would you like to see come out of it?
Right. I want to see pro-equity policies for the city and the county. I want policies scrubbed so that we remove barriers that discriminate, barriers that prevent people from having opportunities, whether it's work opportunities or whether it's housing opportunities. But that's how we'll make progress, is actually looking at the problem, identifying, using data to drive our activities, and measuring what we do. What gets measured gets done. And so we're going to be driven by data. So what all the committees are looking at, the disparities within their specific focus area. And we'll be reporting out to the public on a regular basis what kind of progress is being made. But in King County, Washington, I talk about this area a lot because they led that county, one of the richest counties in the nation, that had a poor area similar to 61605, a distressed area similar to 61605, where your studio actually sits. Mm-hmm. They had a distressed area, and they said, we're only as strong as our weakest link. It was an area that was predominantly black and brown, and it had high poverty, it had high health and disease rates, the environment, toxins. They made all of it, and they made so many improvements over a 10-year time period, and they can prove it.
So you look at some other cities' models. I noticed during the campaign you made reference to a city, I want to say in Ohio.
Columbus.
And so you're studying that. And the whole diversity issue is really in your wheelhouse. I think people who are listening and people who have followed your journey from how you grew up in Peoria, single mom, teenage mom, to being the vice president of diversity and inclusion for ICC, you have pretty much done this work. And I don't want to say you've already done the work that the commission is going to do, but I think for our listeners, what I would like our listeners to know, and you correct me if I'm wrong, is that we hear a lot of people talk about we need diversity, inclusion, equity, et cetera. And those words have been thrown out for years.
Sure.
But we have someone in leadership as the mayor who, this is what you did for the last...
It's been my life's work. It really
decades.
Has. Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm proud to have, you know, those skills and expertise, and I can serve as a resource for the commission. I led the orientation, and then everybody broke out in groups, and they talked about their why they even wanted to be a part of this initiative, and everybody had their own stories. And there were just as many white people there as there were black, there were Asians, there were Hispanics, there were, every committee is co-led by a person of a different race. So everybody had their reason for wanting to be involved in making an improvement and putting, you know, getting rid of that status, Peoria is the worst place for African Americans to live.
Yeah, I was hoping we weren't going to bring that up.
I know. I don't like to bring it up, but that, you know, that was a motivator for a number of people. And George Floyd's death was homicide, was a motivator for a number of people that were there as well.
Yeah, murder. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your council now has the first Indian American serving. Mm-hmm. Your new police chief, whose name we were debating how we pronounce, and I debated it with him actually also, is Puerto Rican. And so you like that. You're smiling
I'm
as I
smiling
say that.
I'm smiling because I love it. The city council is more diverse than it ever has been. We welcomed Dr. Karen Velpula as the first Asian American council member. He was appointed to fulfill
your seat.
Yes, to fulfill my seat. I was wondering whose seat it was, and then it hit me as mine.
Yes, indeed. And then the police chief, I talked to him, and we'll be hearing from him next week. He starts on August 2nd, very committed to community policing. And we might as well start talking about the big elephant in the room now, and that is mm-hmm. 16 homicides mm-hmm. in the city. We know it's not just the police mm-hmm. that is going to solve that. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about how you see this being curbed, how you see violence in our city being curbed.
Sure. I'm very excited about Chief Echevarria. And I can't roll the R's. I'm going to have to practice that. Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Gary. But I'm excited about him joining. He has a lot of energy. He was a resident police officer for 10 years, so very close to the public.
In
he believes
Elgin,
in that.
Illinois.
Elgin, Illinois. And then he's been a commander for the last 10 years. So he brings a lot of energy, excitement. He's a people person. And he's just going to hit the ground running. I'm very excited about his ideas that he has for Peoria as well. But yes, actually 16 homicides actually have turned to 17. Unfortunately, we had another person that was shot that did die in the hospital recently. So we are at 17. It's out of control. Gun violence in Peoria, just like other parts of the nation, especially urban areas, is out of control. And we have to not just rely on police to solve the problem of gun violence. We have to have a community approach. So I've been talking to community stakeholders, groups, individuals, small groups, large groups, and I'm going to continue to do that so we can continue to develop more strategies. We need to connect the strategies and programs and initiatives that we currently have. We're kind of disconnected where everybody's kind of doing their own thing and we're working in a siloed fashion, but we need to work. I call it a safety network. We need a safety network, which I call SNET, that connects all of our resources to reduce gun violence, the shootings that ultimately turn into homicides in Peoria. So we need to have a collective impact approach to addressing gun violence in Peoria.
Sometimes I think we look at the violence as being something that we see in the African-American community among young black males. And those images and pictures we see too often in our news. What do you say mm-hmm. if you come across a young man who is at risk? What would you say to him if he is presenting behavior that you know mm-hmm. Is going to lead to some trouble?
Mm-hmm. Well, I try to hopefully talk to him and maybe get him connected with the African American male role model. I think that we don't have as many connections as we should with black men, young, middle age and older black men being a positive force in their lives. I think that there's not enough fathers in the homes, that they don't have enough exposure there. But we're at a crisis situation right now because most of the shootings involve young black men. They're teenagers. They're in their 20s and sometimes in their 30s, but that's the group. They're in their mostly in their 19s and 20s, and they're the ones that are either going to the morgue, they're going to prison, or they're living with lifelong injuries. And it impacts the entire community, white, black, brown, you know, all of us get impacted by what's happening in this with this situation. People are afraid in our community. We've had some car hijackings lately that have included gun violence or armed, armed kidnapping or robbery. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have to say this is intolerable. We're not going to continue to tolerate this in our community. And so we have to put together some strategies and some programs and some opportunities, mm-hmm. you know, because I think that I know, and you know, many Black men who at a young age made a lot of mistakes, but they got it together. And it's usually because somebody helped them along the way. So I think we have to help these young men in a preventive type of way before they get in trouble, before they go down the wrong road. Many of them are in gangs, and some of that's because of the culture. They use it to protect themselves oftentimes, but gangs are a reality.
Yeah. We want to remind our listeners, this is Newsmakers on WPNV. Newsmakers is sponsored by the Illinois American Water Company, and we're very pleased and honored to have in our studio Peoria's Mayor Rita Ali, who is here to share with us her first 2 months in office and looking into the future, some of her goals, priorities, etc. I can't let you out of here without talking about the budget. As you know, Peoria got, I want to say, what, $46, $47 million from the federal mm-hmm. government mm-hmm. for COVID relief. The coronavirus just really put a whammy on everything and everybody. Mm-hmm. And your predecessor, Jim Artis, told me that don't get too excited, and I'm paraphrasing, about this $46 million, that we were in such a hole, robbing Peter to pay Paul, that when the $46 million comes, don't get your hopes up too high in terms of what you can do with that money. Where do you see this $46 million going, or what would you like to see mm-hmm. done with it?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, this money comes from the American Relief Plan, we say ARP funds, from the federal government. And we received $23 million so far of the $47 million. But we have over a period of 4 years to spend that money, really 3.5 years to spend that money. So it's important, one, that we don't spend it all at one time, that we kind of spread it out and make sure that we're using it for the purposes that it was intended. One of those purposes is equity, that we're using it to address issues of equity within our community. We can certainly use it for infrastructure. We've got a lot of roads that are in bad repair. We could use it for certain capital. But at the same time, we cannot forget that one of the key purposes is that we need to use that money to address issues of equity within our community.
Help us understand that term equity, because I don't think a lot of people do.
Yeah, that's a great question, Gary. Equity is really about providing opportunities for everybody. And, you know, there's a difference between equity and equality, because equality means everybody gets the same thing, okay? The distribution is the same. Yet there are some that need more than others because they're not starting at the same starting line. They need maybe more assistance. They need more support. And it may cost more to support that individual versus another individual that's starting at a higher level. For example, somebody that is starting school without a GED versus or high school diploma versus someone who's out of school, they may need more invested in them because they're starting at a lower level. So it's about providing equitable opportunities versus equal opportunity. Equity is actually greater than equality. You know, we fight for equality. Now we're fighting for equity because some people need more than others. Mm-hmm. So within our community, it's about addressing the needs of those that are most in need. And it doesn't mean exclusion of everybody else, but we need to invest where we have not invested enough sufficiently. And one of those areas is Peoria 61605, one of the most distressed zip codes in America. It's a zip code where half the adults are not employed, where half, 50% of the residences haven't been maintained. It's an area where 30% of the population do not have a GED or high school diploma. It's an area that has the greatest digital divide. They're not connected to internet. How do you find a job these days? You apply online. How do you apply? How do you look at your healthcare records anymore? You go online to access that information. There's still a digital divide where people don't have high-speed Wi-Fi or broadband in their home, and it's mostly in 61605. So that's something that we want to address. And I have worked with many partners, including Illinois Central College, my former employer, Peoria Public Schools, and also the city, in an initiative that we call Peoria Cradle to Career Initiative, or Peoria CCI. And it's designed to transform Peoria 61605. We applied for a $30 million grant from the Department of Education. We put forth, through partnership of 32 organizations and over 50 businesses in Peoria, a match. There's a 100% match requirement, which means you have to get $30 million in a match. Well, we identified $49 million in a match. And we hope that our application is competitive enough to be awarded sometime in November or December of this year.
The city of Peoria is not just City Hall. And I think some people think that when we talk about solutions to our problems, they look to the red building on Fulton. Mm-hmm. And they look to the council and they look to the mayor and say, what are you going to do about this, this, that, and the other? Mm-hmm. You mentioned community partners. And I know that whereas the city can do some things, mm-hmm. you're going to need community partners in mm-hmm. terms of the business community specifically to lend a hand. Mm-hmm. How do you see the private sector helping to raise the bar for the city?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. There's an African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. It's going to require all stakeholders in Peoria, including the private sector, to come together in a collective fashion, in a more or less of a coalition, working together to address the needs of our community. I think about MacArthur Highway, the corridor that's been identified for MacArthur Highway. We need private sector businesses to set up shop on MacArthur Highway. We can't have all not-for-profits in a business corridor. They don't pay taxes. We need tax-paying corporations, businesses, entrepreneurs to set up shop. Same with Western Avenue, which has been, you know, thanks to former Councilwoman Denise Moore for her efforts in getting that funding for both MacArthur and Western, and the council supporting that. But, you know, the infrastructure is being put in place. The foundation is being put in place. And now the commercial development has to take place for those areas to begin to prosper again.
You mentioned the city out in Washington. And I remember someone coming in a couple of years ago. They had just left someplace in Texas. And they were talking about how there was a hospital that was considering building out in the affluent community, mm-hmm. and they, for some reason, decided, no, we're going to plop this brand spanking new state-of-the-art facility right in this depressed urban area, much to the amazement of a lot of naysayers. And within a couple of years, that whole area was transformed. Mm-hmm. They developed curriculum for the nurses mm-hmm. in terms of dealing with this marginalized population. Mm-hmm. Economic development took place, and it brought that whole area up. Wow. And so it's been said the future of Peoria is in the redevelopment of the South Side and the Warehouse District, that the city has gone pretty much as far as it's going to go in the Northwest Corridor. Mm-hmm. You're not going to annex Edwards and Dunlap.
Right.
You agree?
Well, I mean, Edwards and Dunlap is very much a part of Peoria. You have Dunlap addresses, Edwards addresses that are actually in the city of Peoria. But I don't believe that we're going much further north, nor that we need to take on more further north. So I think the south side is the greatest opportunity. There's certainly over 900 empty lots on the south side. You look at the riverfront area of the south side that can certainly have some development. Somebody was talking to me about putting a casino there. They wanted a casino there. Well, it's not far from the 474, highway. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of possibilities.
You've talked about rail, high-speed rail.
You better believe it. And you'll be hearing more about high-speed rail very, very soon for Peoria. It's something that I have wanted for Peoria for a long time. I campaigned for it, as part of my platform. And now I have the opportunity to begin to move that forward. And there are some special opportunities that are coming our way for high-speed rail for Peoria.
We're running out of time, and I didn't want you to get out without talking also a little bit about something you said earlier with the social service agencies. You can't have social service agencies who don't pay taxes along this business corridor. You would prefer to have some businesses there.
Or a combination.
Or a combination, for sure. One of the notions that's out there, these perceptions, when you took office, you know, I would hear people, some white people say, she's just going to be for the black people. And some of those people need to pull themselves up. We have all these social service agencies, 44, 45 mm-hmm. of them, doing all these different kinds of programs. Mm-hmm. And you can't just throw money, more money at this population. What do you tell people who are skeptical about your equity concept mm-hmm. that the people who need these services need to do more themselves mm-hmm. to qualify themselves for these opportunities?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, I didn't run to be the mayor for black people only. I ran to be, what I said, a full-time mayor for all the people of Peoria. And that's what I'm going to be. I ran on equity. Equity was voted into office. And that means that there are people who don't necessarily have boots, let alone bootstraps, to pull themselves up by themselves, and they need some additional support. I recognize that. The pandemic has really shown us that. It has taken the covers off to say there are some really desperate, distressed people out here, and we need to find ways to provide more opportunities. Natural Fiber Welding Company chose. They could have moved anywhere in Peoria. They chose to set up shop in 61605, and now they're working with Illinois Central College to train people, targeting people of color and people that live in that zip code area, to go to work for this very unique company that's growing like crazy. They started with a handful of people, then they had 38. They're expecting to hire over this next year another 100 people. I mean, that is what we need. Like you talked about the place in Texas, mm-hmm. it can take one major investor to begin to
turn this thing around.
Yes, turn it around.
Yeah. Hey, we're out of time. I've been asking you a lot of questions. I have a whole sheet more of questions. That'll be for the next time. And then there will be some other issues that will come up that will add to that list. Anything that you wanted to impart that we didn't get a chance to talk about?
I just want to really thank the people of Peoria for supporting me, for believing in me and my agenda or vision for Peoria. I promise to give my 100% best, and you know, you let me know if there's ideas that you have or ways that I can do things better.
Mayor Rita Ali, Peoria's full-time mayor. Thanks for being on Newsmakers.
Thank you. It's been an honor.
Newsmakers is brought to you by the Illinois American Water Company for WPNV. WPNV, we're Peoria's neighborhood voice.